Today's daf in Masechet Nachot is daf Lamed Gimel. And we had gotten up to the second line. The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Ketava Shnei Dapim Pesula. If the mezuzah had been written on two separate pages, then it would be possible. Which the Gemara has made, Ketava Shnei Dapim. And in Hinicha B'Shnei Sipin, suppose you put it on either side of the door. So you put it on the two mezuzot. So you have half of the mezuzah on one door, and half the mezuzah on one side of the door, half of the mezuzah on the other side of the door. Then it's possible. Mashma, that even if it would be on two separate pages, if it would be B'Saf Echad, it would be Kishera. No, says the that doesn't mean that. It means Ru'uyah L'Shnei Sipin, meaning that you had left sufficient space to cut the two pages. It doesn't have to be literally on two pieces, but if you left enough space to be able to be mechalek it into two separate tapim, and now you could actually, theoretically, take it into two separate parts and put it on either side of the door, that's what it's referring to. But if l'maisets in two columns, and those columns cannot be separated, then it would be kosher. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, if l'maisets connected, then it's considered to be one mizah. It's only, the question of here is, roy to be put on two CP means that it's literally two pieces of archery. When it comes to determining where to put a mezuzah, you look at where the hinges are. Meaning what? My heker tzir. What does that mean? Omer Avada, when we talk about, we don't mean hinges. We're talking about the avketa. The avketa was the way that they used to have the doors hinged, was to have a hinge that was attached to the back of the door, and then it had a piece that stuck down. Not that was hinged and connected to the corner of the mezuzah. It was actually stuck into the ground, like a swinging door. We use those hinges on swinging doors, except that our swinging doors, the hinge sticks out of the bottom of the actual wood of the door. On these doors, what they did is they attached a hinge to one side of the door. It jutted out from the doors. The door didn't swing from its midpoint of the thickness of the wood. It swung in one direction from the back where the hinge was. They would put one hole in the ground, and they would put one hole in the upper lintel. And that's how the door would twist. Now that defines where that is, defines the inside of the house. So, what do you mean to define the inside of a house? I understand. If the inside of a house is the outside of a house, I understand what you're talking about. No, we're talking about, obviously, where you have two rooms in a house, both of which have access to Rishut HaRabim. So, let's say you have two separate homes, or you have the women's section and the men's section. Certainly no man is going to walk into the woman's bedroom, except for conjugal duties, but I mean, like this, it's her private area. So what they used to have, as they had all over the world, very intelligently until very recently, was that the women had a section of the home where they could live bitzniut, and that had a separate entrance. Now the question is, the door that connects the two parts of the house, which one, going from one house to the other, is it on the right side of going into section A, or is it the right side of going into section B? There's no clear-cut differentiation there. So we've got to define where the main entrance is, meaning the direction of the entrance, based on where you put the hinge. The hinge is always put inside. Therefore, if the hinge was in the back as you come in from the women's section, let's say, coming into the men's section, obviously the door might swing in either direction, that's irrelevant. But the hinge itself, not that it normally would, but the hinge itself indicates that the primary entrance was towards the men. If it was in the other direction, then there would be the primary entrance in the other direction. So wherever it swings into, that's where you're going into. And it would be on the right side of where you're going into. This is an extremely common kind of situation that you need to go according to Heker Tzir, because many of our homes are built that way. Now, Resh Galuta, Bona Beita, Resh Galuta, he was the political power, but as far as the learning was concerned, we know Reb Nachman was Chatan of the Venesia, and he asked his son-in-law to take care of the mezuzah for him. Kavali mezuzata. So Reb Nachman told him, well, first, put up the door. Tell me to put up the mezuzah before you put up the door at all. Then I will be able, so again, if we learn, as many of the Rishonim do, that this is a continuation of the previous sugya, then it makes a great deal of sense. In other words, what it might mean is that the house was completely up. What wasn't up yet was the final doors. It hadn't been delivered for the carpenters, but the mezuzot had already been put there. But he had no idea how to be koveh the mezuzah because he didn't know where the heker tzir was going to be. And the heker tzir required the actual door to be there. That would make it a continuation of the previous sugya, but of course then it would have to be referring to a case where we had two entrances. We had the Beit Gavri, the Beit Nasha, whatever the case may be. Another approach could be that the actual mezuzot, the frames, weren't up. And the Resh Galuta had wanted him, Reb Nachman, to have the mezuzahs built into the frame. So it would be very nice. Yeah, in other words, let the carpenter do it, and that way it would be beautifully done while it's still there. It would be a perfect job. To which he said, if I do that, then when we put up the frames, it'll be tasev elo min ha'asui. Because you didn't put the mezuzah on a frame. You put a frame that already had a mezuzah in it, and that's a pagam in asiya, always. It would be like sewing together the baguette after you've already put the tzitzit.
You had the opening.
Yeah, but it's not framed.
It's not finished. The opening's not finished.
Right. Framed. If there's no frame, we'll see. The opening is
not even ready for a door.
We'll see. Well, we're going to see later today, precisely in Machloksim. Others learn that it means doors mamash, which is very problematic, because obviously you don't literally need a door. So the question is, in a petah, where you're going to have a door, if you don't have the door yet, would it be considered to be tasev elo min ha'asui when you're kaveh the petah? Because now it's a difference between petah beitech or petah chatzerecha. It wouldn't be sha'arim. Okay, that already is, there are some who learn this sugya like that. It means literally put up the doors. Omer Avi Amara, Osa'ak min neger. Make the mezuzah like a bolt, which per pashtus means you drill a hole and you put it in hard, roll up your mezuzah.
Horizontally?
Yeah, and you stick the mezuzah into the hole like a bolt so that it's recessed in as if it were a bolt that you were screwing into the doorpost, across the doorpost. Psula. Before we begin, it's important to note that there's a number of different ways that we can be mefarish this word kamineger, and it's around that difference that the sugya really is going to revolve. So kamineger, but pashtut means as if you would put in a bolt. The way that Rashi understands kamineger is that you're putting in a bolt by screwing it in, so to speak, as it would normally you'd put the mezuzah up and down. Here you're putting it horizontally inside of the doorpost, like your picture has it, the upper picture, inside of the doorpost as if you screwed it in from the front of it, so that in fact, as you're walking along your door to the right, you're walking along the mezuzah from bottom to top. The other approach would be exactly the opposite. That actually, it would be possible to understand that these are terms we're going to use later, kisichta, which would mean, again, according to, there would be two different approaches to that, whether the norm is horizontal. According to Rashi, it's not. According to Tosfos, it is. And there's also a word, kistavira, which could mean either that it was diagonal, the way we put it would be kistavira, or the literal translation, kistavira, is the way Rashi understands it, is that it is made like an ankle. In other words, like an L, which you see also on the side, down the lower picture, the way that the mezuzah is made, shaped like an L. So according to Rashi, the preferred modality is the up and down, and it's also kosher if it's diagonal. And according to Tosfos, Rabbi Natan, it would be the preferred modality, actually would be horizontal, and the accepted modality would be also diagonal. And according to Rashi, we have this additional point, which is that if part of the mezuzah at least is up and down, so you bent it and part is up and down, then it would be kosher. With that in mind, we can continue on and get the different pieces now of the shita. There is, by the way, another explanation which is brought by the modern pay scheme a lot, but which doesn't seem directly really to be related to the sugya here, and that is that it was screwed in from the doorway. In other words, you're facing the mezuzah and you screw the mezuzah in like a bolt into the doorway. So all that you see of the mezuzah, and the only part that's going to be walking by the mezuzah, is the little part that's going to be sticking out, and it's going to be at the edge of the hole. Now that would definitely be problematic. It it's neither horizontal nor vertical when it comes to the actual doorpost, mezuzah in the sense of the doorpost. And according to that, even though again it doesn't really fit the pshatim and the mefarshim here on the sugya among the rishonim, but according to that, either a horizontal or vertical, as long as it's along the mezuzah sapesa, would be okay. But embedded in the mezuzah from the front of the mezuzah towards the wall that the mezuzah itself is attached to, that, in other words, deep, that is not kosher. Okay, again, the way in which the sugya ends up meaning these halachas is extremely complex. Let's just keep in mind the actual five possibilities. Up and down, horizontal, so we have the vertical, we have the horizontal, we have the diagonal, that would be true whether it's embedded in the sense of kesichtar, whether it's not embedded, it's on the surface, that part is irrelevant, except for the issue of whether it's a tefach deep, which we'll see later on in the sugya. And then we have the other shapes, which are screwed in from top to bottom into the wall, meaning through the mezuzah, as opposed to across the mezuzah. And that would be according to some. Kiminegar, the other approach would be that it is bent in the middle, so it's a jointed mezuzah, like a knee.
Yes, Gemara, Amy, is that true? Well, Kiyata Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Kulu Mezuzot Adabei Rabbi Kimi Neger Havi Avida.
There were two things that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said after visiting Eretz Yisrael and Rabbi's Beit HaMidrash. First of all, the mezuzahs in Rabbi's home were all made like bolts. That's weird. And Rabbi had a door through which he went into the Beit HaMidrash from his office, and there was no mezuzah on that door. So first, let's discuss the neger issue. Okay, so what about the fact that Rebbe's doors did have a mezuzah like a neger? Well, that's not a problem. The word neger may have two different meanings. So, kasha, ha de avida kesichta, v'ha de avida kistavira. A sichta means that it's like a peg. A peg means that it would be straight. If it was made like the istavira is like the joint in your leg, like a knee, which bepashtas means that it's, if you take a look in the Rashi, in the picture, you have that picture, the second picture where you have an L-shaped mezuzah. That's one approach in Rashi. The mezuzah is bent so that it's partially up, partially stuck, partially horizontal. So an istavira would actually be a knee. So then it would be two completely different dinim. If it was made like a peg, that would be a problem. Now here, what we're learning is that it is actually a question of whether it's horizontal or vertical. And what Rashi is saying is that if it's horizontal and vertical, it's not a problem. But if it would be kulo horizontal, that would be a problem. Tosis, if anything, it's the opposite. If you take a look at the way that the Oron HaBrit contained the Luchos in the Sefer Torah, it was never vertical. Was horizontal. So if anything, the Derech HaKovod of Kitvei HaKodesh is to put them horizontal.
Lying down.
And that should be even better. So then according to him, it would be more in the direction of Kashrut if it were lying down. So the Istavira would mean on an angle, which is the way we do it. What is the big bar focus, the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim? But the way we do it is indeed like that pshat in an istavira, so that it goes at an angle, so that it's neither up nor down, but the way we would lean a Sefer Torah in the Aron HaKodesh, as we do today. So according to Rashi, as long as one part of it is sticking up and down, Rosh Echad Zakuf is his Loshim, it would be kosher. But what about the other problem? What about the fact that he didn't have a mezuzah on the door? Why wouldn't he have a mezuzah on the door? Doesn't Rav Huna have the same situation when he had his private entry? Yes, I mean, it was a Pitcha David Bei Rav Huna Lebei Medrasha. When Rav Huna would come, by the way, the reason they would do this would be because if they would come in through the main entrance, after everybody was sitting, everybody would have to stand up. Like this, he would open up his door and go directly to his place, which wasn't Matriarch Vetzibur. It would be like a stage entrance. Mm-hmm. And Rav Huna had the same thing, but there was a mezuzah on his door. So why is it that Rebbe held he didn't need the mezuzah? Well, Ahu Ragil Havik. Amar Rav Yeramarav. The mezuzah halech achar haragil. Now, Rashi's shot over here is that there were more than one entrance. And if there's more than one entrance, only the main entrance needs
needs a mezuzah, which is a major problem, because the Gemara later on says, absolutely not, because Rashi later on asks on himself from this Gemara. And the case of Rav Huna was that a lot of people used that door, that was the main door, and the case of Rebbe was that it was a private door. That's a very difficult pshat to read. The Rambam has a brilliant pshat, very straightforward pshat. The Rambam says that the question is, was this the door to the Beit HaMidrash, or was this the door to Rebbe's house? If it's the door to a Beit HaMidrash, it doesn't require a mezuzah, because it's not Sha'arecha.
From his office.
Yeah. So how do we look at it? So if this is the door that is used by people to get into the house, then it's the house, the door to the house. And therefore it needs. So that's right. I will rogel avi. People used to cut through that door to get into his home. If that's the case, then it was an entrance into his home. If somebody wanted to visit Rav Huna from the Beis HaMedrash, they would all come to that door instead of walking around to get to the door of the house. Then this becomes a door into his home. And a door into a home, even if it's one of 100, is chayav and a mezuzah. Bashein came by Rebbe. Nobody would use that door to get into the house. They would go to the front door of his house. So that means that essentially this was a cutaway entrance into the Midrash. It wasn't meant as a door to the house of Rebbe. Mamela Be'ikar, it's a door for a place that is not Sha'arecha. Mamela, it's not Chayev in the mezuzah.
Even if it's his
That's brilliant.
Even if it's his office.
No, this is because it's a mokum of the tzibor, it's kodesh and so on. It's a mokum that is not your... Sha'arecha means for your personal use.
Just, any public building?
No, that can also be personal. This is not personal because it's kodesh. So it's not sha'arecha, but the knesiyot, but the midrash. This is something that we're going to get to later. All of these issues we'll get to later because the main questions come from later. But this way, it's perfectly natural to learn the sugya like that.
So I shouldn't ask what I'm going to ask?
Probably not.
Okay.
Omer of Zera, Omer of Matna, Omer Shmuel. So we're going to refer to this sheet as Shmuel sheet. Let's remember what Shmuel says. Place to put a mezuzah is you split, measure the height of the entrance, the upper third, the beginning of that upper third is where the mezuzah is placed. Ravuna says, what upper third? It has to be a tefach from the ground, and it has to be a tefach away from the korah, and then anywhere along that line is perfect precaution for a mezuzah. The important thing is that it shouldn't be on the ground, and within a tefach of the ground essentially is not on the mezuzah. And it shouldn't be on the lintel. It should be on the mezuzah. And if it's in the tefach, which is somach to the top, then it's not considered to be on the mezuzah. But otherwise, it's on the mezuzah. What do you care where it is? I mean, imagine, you know, suppose you got a 50-foot high door. You don't have any see that mezuzah. You have to put it on the top of your door. You know, what if you're a kid? You know, the whole world looks different. If that mezuzah is more than a foot high, you can't see it. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now the question is, since we have a machloket, and in this machloket, Tanoim neither seem to agree with this approach of Shmuel, it would seem that Shmuel has got a problem, because Beitzer, Magbiyam min hakarka tefach, umarchik min hakorah tefach, v'chol ha-petach kulo koshel ha-mezuzah divi Rabbi Yehuda. See, here we have Rabbi Yehuda, that's clearly going exactly the same direction as Rav Huna. Rav Huna is clearly a sheet in the Tanoim. So far, obviously, there's no Shmuel. Now, the Man D'Omer who's chelek of Rabbi is Rabbi Yossi. Problem is that Rabbi Yossi does not say what Shmuel says. What Rabbi Yossi says is that since the Torah puts together ukshartam la'od al yadecha v'ayula totafot ben einecha uchtaftam al mezuzot betecha uvish arecha, so then where is the kshartam la'od al yadecha v'ayula totafot ben einecha begova? So it has to be up on top. I mean, you're putting your tefillin on your head. So if the gova means it has to be the very tippy top, it has to be the place where the skull is not completely closed in an infant. So just like the kshira is begova, the ktiva is begova. So if it's begova, then it should be further up than the top third. Where does Shmuel get the idea that it's the top third? Either it should be on the top, just a tefach away, or it should be anywhere along the side. But there's certainly nobody who's saying like him. So Bishlam Rav Huna, okay, according to Rav Huna, you could say that I am following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, a tefach away from the ground, tefach away from the lintel, and it's fine. But Shmuel is not going to go into anybody. Shmuel don't command. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, the lo Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Yossi, you ought to put it the higher the better. I mean, as long as it's not within that tefach, which is no longer on the mezuzah, but otherwise, why wouldn't you put it up even higher than the beginning of the tether? The truth is that it's going to Rabbi Yossi. So you'll say, why then does he say Tchilat Shlish Elyon? When he said Tchilat Shlish Elyon, all that he meant was laharchikam, meaning not to be marchik from the Korah more than that third. Shelo laharchikam min haKorah shel mala yoter mishlish. That's what it means. So, first of all, there's obviously some kind of problem, but just because the way the Rambam paskins the halacha, it's mashma, some even suggest maybe he didn't have this girsa, because he learns that even at the end of the sugya, the Gemara is still understanding Shmuel to be saying that the mitzvah is la nicha b'tchilat shalosh, and not this is the maximum, but rather this is the chatchila, and that's how we paskin. So why in the world would we read the words laharchika? So apparently, some suggest the word shalom l'archika. If you take a look in Tosfot, he apparently also didn't have shalom l'archika, because he's masber the Gemara l'archika sheyoter lo yarchikena min hatikra. According to our gears, that's what it says. So obviously, that's what it means. Apparently, these words didn't appear there. Now, if these words didn't appear there, then you can understand l'archika different in Tosfot. You can understand l'archika is that there's an inyan to be marking it from the top. And what would that inyan be? So first, one inyan could be to make sure that you don't get too close to the core. That's hard to believe, but some suggested. But the other harachika is great, because the kshatam liot ayadechva, yulut totafot beninecha, refers to kshira on yadayim and the rosh. Kshira al yadecha. Is kshira al yadecha on the top of your head? So it means the top third of your body, which we where your arms are, till the Rosh. See, if you put it there, see, now you're in the area of the tefillin. So then you're kailal, both the kshira and the adayin. So you're going to be marking it from the very tippy top, because then it's not kailal, the whole thing. Okay, maybe that's what it means. But certainly, he's not mazbir. Obviously, the Rambam doesn't bring the actual gears in the Gemara, obviously. But it seems clear that he doesn't hold l'archika. By the way, Tosfos also brings Yerushalmi, which he says is chaylik on the Bavli over here, because the Yerushalmi holds it should be at the level of your shoulders. Because that's always where it is that you want to be able to see it as you're coming in. So if you're walking in, so it's not that that would be the norm of where your shoulders would be, because who knows how high the delet is. There's no way to know. Maybe this would be very low, or maybe it's too high, you won't see it. But rather, you always put it connected that place, no matter where, because it's supposed to be a mokum that you should be pogea in the mezuzah. And that we'll see later on is an inyan, as we had yesterday on Marova. Right, right. So he learns that that's chaylik on the bottom.
Average shoulder person?
Yeah, no, your shoulder.
Do you have 10 people coming in?
Fine, so then the average or whatever it would be. Omar Rava, mitzvah li'icha b'tefach ha'samach l'shut ha'rabim. For the same reason. Why would you want to put it next to the doorway of the Rosh Torabi? So what's the reason for that? Rabbanan Amri Kitei Sheyivgam b'mizuzah miyat. Because since the union over here is for you to be aware of the mezuzah, so you want to be aware of that mezuzah at the moment that you come out of the street. So what are you going to have to wait now for a meter as you get through into the entrance to your door? Should be the closest as it could be to the Rosh Torabi. Whereas Rav Chanina Misura says, Ki hecha ditintere. You want to make sure that the entire house is kept clear of the shadim, right? The mazikim. We learned yesterday that it's a sakana if you put it me'achorei adelet, because then if you're not yetzer the mitzvah, so then who knows what kind of monsters are going to get into your house. It's interesting, because according to Tosfos, actually learned the Gemara yesterday that the sakana is a rather prosaic sakana, that if you put the mezuzah on a makel, you're going to bump your head on it. It's like the opposite of the concern for mazikin, it's like the tefillin that are round. It's like an obvious, you bump your head, they'll puncture your skull. But over here, there's no choice to learn that there's a netira. There's certainly, even according to Tosis, the Indian is, does everybody call it a sakana? It's an Indian of shmira, okay? So he certainly has made it that there's an Indian of shmira, even I'll leave it in place. Anyway, Omer Rav Chanina, you know, the very fact that we could take for granted that a mezuzah is a shemira of the house is an astonishing thing, because bo ra'eh, shelo ki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam. Midat basar v'dam, you have a melech. Melech, he sits in the palace, and he's got people that sit out there, the royal guard, and they go around pivoting and pirouetting, and all the tourists come, and they take pictures, and you know, and it's a great tourist attraction, and so on. The amr mishamrim oto mibachut. Midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu inoki. Avadav yoshvim bebifnim. V'hu mishamra mibachut. Kadosh Baruch Hu has the people in the palace, and he takes care of the palace from the outside. And that's the shmir of the mezuzah. Shinema Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzivcha yad yiminecha. What's yad yiminecha? The mezuzah. As you're going on, pescha yamin. So that's how we darsh, and it should be yad yamin. Dorash of Yosef read the Rav, Mishmei the Rav. Emik la tefa pisula. If you dug into the wood of the frame, you put the mezuzah a tefach down from the surface, then it's not on your sha'arim. It's not al mezuzot petecha, and therefore you're not yotz. Lema misayale, can we bring a proof from the following? It says in the Braita, yinicha bepatzin, o shetala ale al malbein, im yesham tefach tzarch mezuzah acheret. So now, the pashtus, what this means is, if you put it deep inside the actual pieces of wood, or originally it wasn't that deep, it was on the surface, and then you put facing down over that surface. So let's say you covered it with a nice facing of stone. But it's a tefach thickna from the top of the facing. Originally, let's say it was 2 inches deep. But now you put on facing with another 2 inches. Now it's already deep inside of the mezuzah.
Closed off is
good? That doesn't matter. But it's closed open. Closed open is not an issue. Well, we like to, because we were right the shakai, we like to have it open. But that's not the yikur issue. So lechora, what it's saying is, im yesham tefach, if you have a tefach, if you can't dig out your old mezuzah, you're going to need a new mezuzah on top. So tzarich mezuzah acheret. V'im la, but if it's not a tefach, in a tzarich mezuzah acheret. But it certainly seems from here that the assumption of the sugya is that if the mezuzah is buried into the mezuzah, then it's not a kosher al mezuzah betef. No. That's a whole different issue. That's talking about a petach she'achorei hadelet. That is not referring to a mezuzah that is buried deep. There's a number of very complex pshatim about what this means. It seems to be talking about, even though it sounds like a mezuzah where a door is behind a door. That's what it seems to be saying. And that the tefach would define the distance between them, would define whether the mezuzah in front handles these. Let's say you have a screen door that is recessed behind the petach. It has its own frame, which is usually the case. And the door has its own frame. If there's not a tefach between them, then this is considered to be one doorway. And otherwise it would be two doorways. The problem is that does not explain the hinicha. It explains hinicha bapatzin maybe, but what in the world is it talking about? Shetala aleha malbein. I mean, that doesn't seem to make any sense. So the simple pshat doesn't really fit the words of the introduction to the kisim. Therefore, Rashi has a rather complex two possibilities, both which are rather complex. One possibility is that you have a situation where the entrance to the house, quite modern, is at the corner, so that the doorway extends around the corner. So that you have a double door, one facing towards one direction, let's say one is facing to the north, let's say, and then you've got another one that's facing at the east. So they're right up against each other, but they're facing different directions. The corner post is there basically as it becomes now the threshold to two separate doors, but the shaila is, are they really two separate doors, or is it just a support with one entrance? Yeah, it would be like a double door. The problem is that they're facing different directions. That's the problem. So if it's a tefach, that's one approach. If it's a tefach, so then
Does it matter where it's hinged?
Maybe
does it matter where it's hinged?
No, the hinge is only, Eckhart's theory, remember, is only we need to define where the Iker entrance is. We have two entrances to Shusha Rabin. Here it doesn't, when it's the entrance to the house, so there's no question about that. Okay, so here they have it southwest. Same thing as northeast. I guess they want some of the sun coming in. So they have it. So here we have a nice, how do you know what number is? It's so complicated. Why can't I? I can never figure out which direction the thing is going in. Good. Okay. Yeah. So this would be if this piece that this is a very nice picture.
But there's a one or two.
That's a very modern home. He's got two. Well, it's not the
It's Uncle. It's not Art. What it's not.
Uncle Art exactly. That's the picture's way. So the question is, if this middle piece over here is a tefach wide, so then it would be considered a separate entrance. You need another mezuzah on the right side of the other door. That would be the point. So that even if originally it wasn't, the middle piece wasn't a tefach wide, but now you put on facing.
Like beam in the middle?
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, it's the corner of a house. Right? It's not that modern. You know, the thing is able to be supported without anything. So if you added facing to it, that would be the meaning of the adding. If you added facing to it, it became a tefach. So now it's already a separate entrance, and therefore you would need separate mezuzot. That's one approach. The other approach, a little bit weird, is that apparently they used to have something like this, even where it was one entrance, except that they would have this beautiful big door entrance into the mansion, and they would have a small opening to the side, the servant's entrance, or the delivery boy, and so on. They had to open up this big, gigantic door that it weighs, 300 pounds. In it. Does he have a little door to the side? Yeah. That's inside the other gate, I think, right? Yeah. Now, this is on the side. That's the problem, is that it's on the side. So something like that, yeah. Well, there it's the side goes into the side. It's not exactly the same. But in any event, the Shiloh would be here, the same type of thing. Is this considered to be all one door? In which case, the strange thing in Rashi is that the main door would potter the side door, because the side door is just considered to be like an additional hole that's coming out to the side of the big door. So the real mezuzat ha-petach is the mezuzat ha-petach of the big door. This is puffel to it. Strange. In other words, you wouldn't have a separate mezuzah at all on that side, because it's considered to be an extension of the other door. It's a different kind of way of looking at it. That's what he was talking about. But there it's a door in a door. That's for the cats.
I was just going to say, it's a cat flap.
Or the donkeys, perhaps. Lots of those.
Or we have big cats.
So anyway, that doesn't prove anything. So perhaps he's right. I can't tell you that he's not right, but you can't necessarily prove it from here. That's all I'm saying. So that might be talking about a whole different case. How could it mean that? That is a separate case. It says, Petach Shachorei Adelet, it's all about Yekatonila. That's the next words. Petach Shachorei Adelet, Im Yesham Tefach Shachorei Mizuzachert, Vim Lav, and it's Shach Mizuzachert. Now that's an explanation of that first part. In other words, Inicha B'Patsim, Tala Aleh Malbein, Im Yesham Tefach. Don't think that I'm talking about the case where you bury it. Ketzad, what do I mean? I mean a case of a petach achorei adelet. That's what I mean. Okay? Even though, again, and as the bright is basically expressing what was bothering us. Isn't that very misleading? So I want you to understand that it can't mean what you think it means by making it clear that I add the words petach achorei adelet in conjunction with patsim. And that would have to be put the two together. You're left with one of these strange cases. So that could be ketzad. Again, we're not saying he's wrong, but we can't necessarily prove it. Another halacha is Amar Rav Acha Breda Rava. We already referenced this in one of the pshatim of Reb Nachman's refusal to put the mezuzah into the house of the Reish Galut until he was koveah the delet, was because of this, that where we're talking, Tana, Hemidla malben shalkanim. Chotech shvofer temenicha. Suppose you build a reed entranceway. So what you can do is you cut into the reed and you put the mezuzah inside of the wall. That's similar to the case we talked about before. But since the reed is so thin, so it comes out, you don't need a mezuzah cover. The reed itself is the mezuzah cover. And here's where we get into the problem of what would happen if you put it in before you built it. Because that's very convenient to do. Omer v'akabre d'rova lo shonu lo shemidu v'sof chatach v'niach. You'd have to first build your decorative entranceway, which is, again, very modern, using bamboo as, you know, it's a, this nature walk. And then you put it into the bamboo. But if you first made a hole in the bamboo, insert the mezuzah, and now you put up your nice bamboo facing around your doorway, you're not going to be yotzei. Because then it would be possible because of ta'aseh v'lo mina asui. So since this had the mezuzah in it from before, so this is not considered to be an asiya of a mezuzah at all. And that was one of the pshatim, why Reb Nachman wanted the door to be framed first. Which leads us directly into the questions that you all ask. What does framing mean? Okay? And that is the issue of pitrei shimoy. Pitrei shimoy are doors that are not properly framed and that are not chayav in a mezuzah. What exactly they are, that's what we're going to discuss now. But it's the same thing as the kol haroi labila ein bila makeves, which has nothing to do with bila, obviously. It becomes now a definition of a technical concept. V'yomar rova, hani pitrei shimoy. So if shimoy is generally unfinished, incomplete. Pturin mana mezuzah. Now, what do you mean by a pitrei shimoy? What defines something as being a pitrei shimoy bichlal? Pligi ba Rav Rechumi and Abba Yossi. Here we have a machlok. One says it's a delet, delet lehu tikra. And one says it's a delet, delet lehu shekufe. So what exactly does this mean?
The possible meaning of what it could be referred to when it's less le shekufe, less le tigra. Sorry, tikra. No, so it could mean that you take out some of the stones, so you get a zigzag effect. It could mean that it doesn't have any additional framing. It's just what it is the wall is. And it could mean, maybe, says Rashi, which Tosus disagrees with, it could mean a house, but a house doesn't have a tikra. And then that would be that's a problem, as Tosus points out. I mean, a chotzer doesn't have a tikra either, but the Gemara says beferish, it requires a mezuzah. And so, okay, in Lemaisa, this still has a very good basis, and there are other Rishonim who say the same thing, and point out that a house without a roof is not a house. It's not really functioning the way a house is. A chotzer is meant to be without a roof, and therefore it's lemilte, it's ro'ui. Where it's not roi lemilte, there ain't a chinami, it's not considered to be ro'ui for the mezuzah.
Well, it doesn't mean it doesn't have an area above it, but it doesn't have a properly formed lintel. So what you did is, which often happens here, you remove stones. We just saw this actually happen. You remove stones. And in removing stones, you're left with a zigzag on the side. Because obviously this, you don't cut through it. Except nowadays we have those special saws, but what do they call them? The disc. Right. But if you don't have a disc, so what you do is, in order to make a door, you pull out some of the stones, and then you're left with jutting in spaces, holes, jutting in spaces.
Yeah, the interlock.
And then you fill that area in. A jutting in space, either from the top or from the side, is considered to be improperly formed. Oh, how do you like that? This is not even an Uncle Art. Perfect. These are very nice. Today we've got nice pictures. Look at that. Here's where the mezuzot are improperly formed. So they've got a jagged edge. And here is where the tikra, the lintel, is improperly formed. Okay? But it could also, mean that there was nothing except the wall.
Meaning there was nothing.
Meaning that you simply took a disc and cut a hole into the wall. A wall on either side is not a delet. So in other words, there needs to be something that defines a delet. It's not that you cut a hole into a thing that's standing anyway, that makes it into a delet. It needs to be built as a delet. So it needs to be either framed or constructed in that fashion so that these stones are built to support the wall. Not that it happens to be that you made a hole in it. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of, I know a couple of deaf neighbors who have moved their doors.
Yeah, it's even worse than that. We're very machmer on things like even. It's very common in modern homes, is especially when you have, you're built out of, what do you call that board? The white
sheetrock?
Sheetrock, where you simply leave a wall that comes to an edge, mm-hmm. and then it cuts up to the ceiling, mm-hmm. and there's absolutely no door there at all. There's only wall, which there, I mean, for sure, according to this sugya, if this is the way you learn it, that's ridiculous. That doesn't even look like a doorway. You know, obviously, there's going to be somebody that'll be machmer on that too. But there, you clearly recognize we're not talking about a doorway, but the fact that it functions doorway, yes. maybe a long hallway, and so on and so forth. But there's no particularly defined shahr at all. Well, that's I consider to be by default a door. So if it has no tikra, or if it has no shikufe, there's nothing that it bangs against. There's no threshold. There's no door jam. That's a shikufe. So then, that where's the doorway? Omar, Rabba bar Shila, Omar of Chista. An achsadra is p'tura min ha-mezuzah because it doesn't have pitzimim for the same reason. If you have an open porch, like an American-style porch, so one side is the side of the house, two sides you have this, you know, this wall, and the front is completely open. We have the stairs going up to your porch and so on. That's the classic achsadra. So there's no pitzimim. There's nothing on either side that can define this as a doorway. All you have is the edge of your roof that's coming over that fourth side. An open wall is, you're saying, but by default it's the entrance, but there's no shahr, there's no delet, there's no anything. And therefore, where would you put a mezuzah there? How could it be chayav in a mezuzah? What are you saying? That if it did have fitzimin, it would be chayav in a mezuzah? I mean, why would people put these beams on either side, which of course is very common, but for a very obvious reason. You want to support the roof so it doesn't sag in the middle. So you often do put pitzimin. Are you claiming that those pitzimin would be a doorway? Those pitzimin are the chizuk tikru, the avidi. Those aren't made to frame a door. They're there by default because you need to have them to support the roof. Who cares? What makes that a door? Why are you saying the only reason is because it ain't la pitzimin? But if it had pitzimin, it would be chayav. Those pitzimin are irrelevant in terms of door framing. So, no, come on. You're misreading it. He's saying, even if there are pitzimin, they're not pitzimin. That's what he's saying. Mipnei she'ein la pitzimin, even if it looks like it has pieces on either side, those are not pitzimin. That's what he's saying, because it's always afapishi yeshla petzimim. It's as if ein la petzimim, and it's potter because they're not made to frame a door. They're only there in a masuyim elo lechizuk tikra. Omra abaye chazinulu lispalide de beimar de iklu petzimi veletlu mizuzata. I actually saw this in the, I assume the ispalide is like the Spanish in the back of Rebbe's home, where Rava, where he does have pitzimim, but nonetheless he didn't put a mezuzah there. Obviously, he held that those pitzimim were put there only to support the roof. So, kasav lechizuk tikra, hu de'avidi. That's the classic sign, by the way, of the collapsing American standard home, is where the area over the porch begins to sag, right? Yeah, that's your picture driving through the old neighborhoods, and the top of the porch is always the first thing that sags. You know, it's all over. So, huh? Yeah, and I remember visiting my childhood home like years later. It was like I knew it was over. It was all sagging down.
You can't go home.
You can't go back, especially when they turn it into a church. a black church to boot.
Mine became the nuclear astrophysics laboratory house.
So Afa B'sheishla, but Simin Ptura, I must have held that it was only for Chizuk HaTikra. Meitve, Beit Shar, Achsadra, Umir Peset, Chayavim B'mezuzah. What are you saying? An Achsadra is Ptura Min HaMezuzah. The bright that says Beferish that an Achsadra is Chayavim B'mezuzah. No, that's not a regular Achsadra. That's an Achsadra Devei Rav. That's an Achsadra for Yeshiva Bokrim. That's completely different.
And it doesn't mean.
No, the Achsadra Devei Rav has actually, it's a room. It has four walls. That's how Rashi learns here. He actually reverses himself elsewhere. And he calls what he's calling here an Achsadra Devei Rav, he calls an Achsadra Romoi. a Roman Afsadra. But anyway, an Afsadra Beirav, here Rashi says it has four walls, but this is the air-conditioned room. In other words, they left the upper part open, so there should be lots of air, lots of light. I mean, they didn't want Yeshiva Bochum to look as if they're all white and never exposed to the sun and never get any air and look like a bunch of... Not they walk around like a bunch of TB patients and so on. So they made it. They made it to be very sunny, bright, and sanatorium-like. It says the Gemara. An Aksadr to be Rav like that, that's like a real sunroom. That's Kinduruna Mialyata. What do I need? There's no Kiddush in that. What? Because you have big windows. I don't understand what you're saying. Why would I think that you'd be parted from a mezuzah? That would be like a nice sunroom. Of course it's chayiv in a mezuzah. No, so what it means is that an Aksadra Rumita. Sadra Rumita is entirely windows. It doesn't have any solid wall to cover it. And that would be where it's a Kiddush.
Like an atrium?
Yeah, like an atrium. Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda, a Be'ar Zike is Chayev B'shtei Mezuzot. That's nice, but what exactly is a Be'ar Zike?
What are they mean by
the Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ketavash Nedapim Psula. But if it was besafech, how would it be kosher? No, I mean ru'uya l'shnei sipim. Namely that, according to Rashi, it was separable because there's enough space between the dapim, and according to Tosafot, it's actually on two dapim. V'yom rev yiram shmo b'mezuzah, to define where to put the mezuzah, halech achar heker tzir, meaning what? My heker tzir? Om Ravada, where is the Afkita? Well, I don't understand. I mean, isn't there an inside and outside by definition? No. Hechidami. Gagom Pitcha de Bein Tre Bati. Bein Begavil Bein Nashi, let's say. Both of them would have an entrance to Rosh Hashanah. Now, how do you know which way you're going in or which way you're going out? That's the Afkita. Rish Galuta Bana Beita, so he tells his son-in-law, Reb Nachman, Kvali mezuzata. Om Reb Nachman, you first put up your dashi bereisha, then I'll be kvalacha mezuzata. Either because I don't know where the afkata is, or because of tasev alomena asri, or because there's no chiev until there's the tiliya of the dashi. Om Reb Yonamarav asa'aket mi neger psula. Eni? Vachiyata Reb Yitzchak bar Yosef amar, kula mezuzata dvei Rebbe ki mi neger havi avidan. Furthermore, so we want to deal with these two things. We'll deal with them separately. So first of all, the neger is lo kasha. Hada avira kesichta and hada avira kistavira. Eni v'ahu pitcha da'avi ayo baravuna l'vei medrasha havi lo mezuzah. No, that was a petach ragil havi. Domer if you don't merav b'mezuzah halech achar haragil. So according to Rambam, to define whether this was the door of the Beit Midrash or the door to Rebbe's home or to Ravuna's home. Omer of Zera, Omer of Mat, Omer Shmuel, mitzvah l'anicha b'tchilat shlisha elyon, whereas Ravuna says, as long as it's bagbi min hakarka tefach, and as long as it's rachok min hakorah tefach, the rest of it, kol ha-petach kulo, is perfectly kosher l'mezuzah. Meitve. Here we have a bachloket and a braita. And Shmuel doesn't work out according to either Shita. Magbiyah min hakarka tefach, umarchik min hakorah tefach, v'chol ha-petach kula kosher l'mezuzah, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosi omer ukshartam, uksaftam. Makshira begova, afktiva begova. So look, Ravuna's got no problem. He's basically word for word what Rav Yehuda said. But Shmuel's not going according to anybody. Lok Rav Yehuda, lok Rav Yosi, because according to Rav Yosi, you're supposed to be putting it dafka begova. Omer Ravuna, berei the Rav Nasan, the olamit is ka Rav Yosi. When Shmuel said chilat shlisha elyon, he meant laharchika. And this girsa, which apparently is wrong, is meaning shalol laharchika min hakorah shel mala yoter mi shlish. And actually the shita takes this out. Again, we saw in Tosas, it's clear Tosas didn't have it, and it seems absolutely clear that the Rambam doesn't have it. The Shach actually points out that he in the Gemaras that he saw, older Gemaras that didn't appear in the Gemaras, and therefore it makes sense to leave it out. Omar Rava, mitzvah la'anicha b'tefach ha'samach l'rushat ha'rab. In my time, Rabbanan Amri, k'day she'yivgah b'mezuzah miyad, Reb Chanina Misur, Omer k'yecha d'tintrei. Omer Reb Chanina Borei Shalok, midat ha'kadosh baruch hu, midat basar v'adam. Midat basar v'adam, the melech is yashem b'bifnim. And the am are mishamrim oto mibachutz. V'midat ha'kadosh baruch hu enu kei. Avadav yoshvim mibifnim. And who mishamran mibachutz. Shinemar Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem Tzilcha, Yadiminecha. Torah Shav Yosef, Berei the Rav, Mishmei the Rav, Emikla Tefach Tzua, let me say, Ela, Eindicha Bepatsin, or, in the end, Yotolala Malbein, Im Yesham Tefach, apparently between the surface of the Patsin of the Malbein and the Mezuzah, then you'll have to either dig it out or Tzarek Mezuzah Acheret. Im Lavein or Tzarek Mezuzah Acheret. No. That can't mean that. Because Behed Yekatala, Petach Shachori Adelet, Im Yesham Tefach Tzarek Mezuzah Acheret, Vim Lavein Tzarek Mezuzah Acheret. No, it's just explaining itself. Ketzad Katani. Tana, Hemidla Malbein Shal Kanim, Chotech Shevoferet Umenicha. Omri Vachbrei Rav Eloshanu, Eloshe Hemidu Lebesof Chatach Viniach. But if first Chatach Viniach, and then you put up your framing, then it's psula, because of Taaseh V'lomen Ha'asui. V'yomar Rava, Ani Pitcha Shimoi Beturim Anu Mezuzah. My Pitcha Shimoi, Pligaba Rav Rechumi V'Abi Yosi. Chad Omar Deletlu Tikra, V'chad Omar Deletlu Shekufi. Omar Rava Bar Shilom Rav Chistach Sadra Beturim Anu Mezuzah Fisha Ein Lo Ptzimim. What are you trying to say? That Yesh Lo Ptzimim, it would be Chayevet. There's no doorway over here. It's only lechizuk tikru de avide. No, ochikama. Precisely. Alpha pishi yesh la ptzimim ptura, because ain la ptzimim, meaning that those ptzimim are in a masim el lechizuk atikra. Om rabbi chazinu lispalit de beimar, de itlu ptzime, de itlu mizuzata. Kasavar, the letlu mizuzata. Kasavar lechizuk tikru de avide. Meitre. Becharach sadrom repeset, Chayavin b'mezuzah. That's talking about Achsadu d'veirav. Achsadu d'veirav? Well, of course the Chayav b'mezuzah. That's a real in the runa mayatahu. Well, we mean an Achsadu rumita. Omar Rechov, Omar Rav Yehuda, Beharzike Chayav b'shtei mezuzot. My Beharzike, Omar Papa Saba Mishmei d'rav, it's a Beit Shar, which is patuach both to the Chatzer, and to the Batim, which are patuchim, to the Beit Shar.